Indeed it does, and I realize, as we're going to welcome in Alan Horton, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves here in just a heartbeat, the Kings take on the T-Wolves tonight. I forgot to mention how our friends on the app win tickets to the NCAA doubleheader. At some point, we're still new to this show. I'm going to learn how to plan this properly so I don't forget things when we get in the middle of conversations like who's going to replace Roger Goodell. NCAA doubleheader is coming up December 21st at the Golden 1 Center. It's Kansas versus Samford, Sac State.
Stickers up.
Versus Portland. So we kind of spent the early part of the week just, you know, giving tickets away as we normally do. But we know a lot of people are listening on the KHTK app. And a lot of people are listening on KHTK.com. And that puts you at a severe disadvantage to try to win these types of things. So what I was thinking, Jay Ross, is if you have the KHTK app, that means you have a smartphone. If you have a smartphone, you probably have some social media device. If you take a snapshot of you listening to the show, you know, the screenshot, and tweet it to us, we'll enter you to win. We'll draw the winner at 2 o'clock.
I like it.
All right, so awesome. That's what we'll do. If you're listening to the show on the app, take a snapshot of you listening. Tweet it to us. That's at JasonRoss1140 or at Damian Barling. You could tweet it to both of us or one of us. It doesn't matter. We're going to enter you no matter what. You got an hour to do that, and we'll draw the winner at 2 o'clock. So that puts people who are listening on the radio at an advantage as well. You could still win. You just got to download the app. You got to listen, you know, show us that you're listening to it. Boom. Tweet it to us, and we'll put your name in the hat, as they say. I've never actually seen this fictitious hat.
Or the hopper?
I've never seen the hopper.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I don't even know what I've only know one. I know what the hopper is, yeah. And I don't know why you'd put anything in it and pull it out.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah,
hey now. All right.
Hey now.
Alan Horton, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I feel like I should give him a significantly better introduction than we just did. Hi, Alan.
Guys, I think the last time we saw the hopper was when maybe David Stern had those big envelopes.
That's right, the frozen one.
And he smashed the one with the Knicks.
It was
wasn't that one, the frozen envelope, too?
Yeah, it was either frozen envelope or bent corner. There's all those little.
It was all of them,
I think it was both of them, yeah.
It was every conspiracy theory ever wrapped up into one right there, old David Stern. Alan, I have never heard so much conversation about playing time as we currently are about the Minnesota Timberwolves. We actually had a discussion with Sam Amick of USA Today yesterday about the Minnesota Timberwolves and their playing time. Is that a conversation in Minnesota at all?
Oh, it's been a conversation almost all season. It seems like it is brought up after every single loss. It's funny how it doesn't come up after wins, but it's a big topic nationally. It's a big topic locally. You look at some of the minute totals that have been accrued by the starters the last couple of games. Last couple of weeks, really all season, but specifically against Philadelphia on Tuesday night. And you're looking at 48 minutes for Karl Anthony Towns, 40 plus for you know Butler and for Wiggins. And you know the debate has been raging about Tibbs relying on his starters too much. But here's kind of the deal, guys. I mean, you know, early on in the season, Tibbs had a 5-man bench unit that he would put out there. And then what happened was Shabazz Muhammad played his way right out of that group. He's played so poorly that they can't even put him on the floor. And Nemanja Bjelica, the NBA's leading three-point shooter for much of the early part of the season, got injured. And so it's basically been an 8-man rotation. And I think for the time being, that's what Tibbs is comfortable going with. I don't think it's a long-term type of solution. And they're hopeful to get Nemanja Bjelica back at some point. And when they do, then that'll be a 9-man rotation. And you know, if that bench starts to play better, then you can play them more. It's really been a case of, you know, Tibbs is about winning games, as every coach is, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win those games. And if that means the bench has got to only play 3 or 4 minutes during a second quarter stint, and that lead starts to evaporate or that deficit starts to grow, he's going to go back to the guys that can get him that lead. So it's really been a kind of a byproduct of a number of things, the injuries, Shabazz Muhammad not playing well, and overall the bench, when they've had an opportunity, has just not performed.
And Alan, you know, what's different with the Timberwolves compared to like the Kings, there's a tough set. It's not easy to separate player number one through player number 13. There's not a big gap. Well, your five that are playing all the time are your five best players. Is there someone that's on that bench, even if they're in that 8-man rotation, that you think maybe should get a little bit more minutes?
Yeah, probably. I think you can make a case for Tyus Jones, who played really well when Jeff Teague was injured for a 4 or 5 game stretch. I mean, Tyus was more than adequate during that time and really performed pretty well. But Tibbs has been reluctant to play two point guards at once. Teague and Jones have not shared the court at all together, which I think is kind of prohibiting, you know, it's either one or the other. And when push comes to shove, he's going to go back to the guy who's getting paid $19 million a year, was brought in to lead this team, and Jeff Teague's going to get the nod. So that sometimes leaves Tyus with only, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game. Jamal Crawford, we've all seen Jamal throughout his years. You know, it's very clear when he gets something going. I mean, he can be off on certain nights, but when he gets it going, he gets hot. I think you could probably give him a few more minutes on those occasions when he does get things rolling. But it's also a matter of, well, who's coming out then? Is it whose spot is he going to take down the stretch? Is it Wiggins? Is it Butler? No, probably not. Is it Teague? No, you kind of need a two-point guard out there. And I think Tibbs has been a little reluctant to go smaller. Taj Gibson has been arguably the Timberwolves' most important player, having a career year and just being so solid for the Wolves. And then, of course, Karl-Anthony Towns, his size and strength, and you know, he's the top guy. You're not gonna be sitting him in the last 5 minutes of a game. So it's been difficult to kind of, especially down the stretch, to get guys more minutes. And I go back to the bench having to play well. And I know it's not an easy job to come off the bench and not have much time to warm up and work yourself back into the game. You've got to be going as soon as you step on the floor. But the bench has to play better, I think, to earn the more minutes.
Kings at T-Wolves tonight. We'll have that game beginning for you at 5 o'clock. Voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Alan Horton, with us here on the Lowdown. Is there a learning curve? I mean, he's, you know, this has been around now a couple of years. Is there a learning curve when playing for Coach Thibodeau there?
I think so. I think we saw that last year. The guys were kind of getting to know him and him getting to know the guys, and all while you're losing games made it awfully difficult. But I think when they brought in Jimmy Butler and they brought in Jamal Crawford and Taj Gibson and Jeff Teague, that helped kind of bridge the gap towards learning Tibbs' systems. You brought guys in specifically in Butler and Taj, who just immediately, you know, rise up in the ranks in the locker room as far as leadership goes. And Jimmy Butler has been basically the conduit between Tom Thibodeau and the players. I mean, he's a guy that they see eye to eye. They've been together during the entire stint in Chicago when Tibbs and Butler were there together. So I think that's really kind of bridged that gap between the coach and what he wants, both offensively and defensively, even though the defense really hasn't kicked in. I mean, you're looking at a Wolves team that's, you know, top five offense, but bottom six defense. And that's really kind of been a surprise, too, is the Wolves have not been better defensively. You know, even last year, I thought they would be better with Tibbs as their head coach. It didn't translate, and so far it hasn't translated this year either.
Alan, is there a trend that you've seen with this team this year that you would say this is the best version of the Timberwolves? And by that, I mean, is it when Towns is going off, or it's really going through Butler, or Wiggins has a big night? What do you think is what does it look like when the Timberwolves are at their best?
Well, it's been interesting, Jason. It's been when they've won, they've had to win close games, and that's something they weren't able to do last year. They had the worst record in clutch time in the NBA last year, and in holding on to double digit leads and playing in the fourth quarter. And now they're starting to win those games, and so that has been, you know, most of the wins have not been blowouts, neither have the losses. It's been a lot of tight games, and I think that's one thing this team has got to figure out is ways. And I think it will come. It's still a work in progress. But what the Wolves have been able to do is, even through the growing pains of not playing defense and maybe the minutes imbalance that there is on the roster and the lack of three-point shooting and the three-point differentials really starting to grow here over the last couple of weeks, they've been able to fight through all that while still having a 16-12 record and still being fourth best in the Western Conference. They've got a lot of issues to work through, but they've put themselves in a great position. And I think as they do get a few more practices here, it's never easy during the season to find times of practice. And when you're playing guys lots of minutes, they've been resting a lot at home too. So that presents a problem. But I think they're going to improve. But again, I would love to see them be able to put their foot down. They lost that game in Philadelphia the other night, and they were up by 9 with 6 minutes to go. And coming out of a timeout, I said on the air, you know, this is a pivotal moment. Will the Wolves make two more plays and put this game away? A stop and a score makes it probably an 11-point, maybe 12-point game. And Philly's hasn't come back from a double-digit deficit all year. You probably put them away. Instead, it goes the other way. Philly gets momentum, forces overtime, and the Timberwolves were completely done at that point.
Karl-Anthony Towns, as Kings fans will be reminded tonight, one of the most talented big men in the league, one of the most talented players in the league. But he's part of that ever-evolving position of the big man in the NBA. How much has that position evolved during your time covering the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, it's just, it's. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Like, it's just, you know, it's more from what Karl Anthony Towns is now. We just saw Joel Embiid, who I think takes the position to a whole nother level. Anthony Davis took it to another level. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, that you guys know well there from the time with the Kings, he took the position to another level. It's just, it's incredible what these guys can do. And seeing Embiid in person the other night was just, you know, we only get to see them twice a year. Like, you guys do the same thing, but it's pretty incredible to see his size and strength and him be able to handle the basketball, shoot threes, take guys off the dribble, what he can do defensively. I mean, there's just the position, just there's no limits to what these guys can do. Is there anything those guys can't do? They can distribute, they can shoot, they can rebound, they can block shots, they can bring the ball up the floor, they can be a rim protector. They can do everything. And that's just, I don't think, you know, when I started 11 years ago, you just didn't have, there weren't guys that had that skill set. It was much more, you know, not one-dimensional, but much more maybe two-dimensional. While the guys these days, I just feel like are just like Swiss Army knives. They can just do a little bit of everything.
Alan, how's the fan base taking this year? Because the Kings and Timberwolves have the two longest droughts of making the postseason. Yeah. You guys are looking good at the moment right now, and we're a one-team town. You guys have other choices. Vikings having a great season, but what are the fans feeling like right now about the Timberwolves?
Well, it's funny. That's been the problem, is that I mentioned the 16-12. They're in the fourth spot in the West, right? I mean, everything's good, but no, you'd think the sky was falling. It's just, you know, people are really latching on to the losses, because in those losses, that's when you look at the box score and everybody can see that the Wolves are playing a ton of minutes for their starters. They're getting into the fourth quarter, and their fourth quarter play is dead last in the NBA. And it really looks like it's because guys are getting worn down. They're settling for jump shots. Those jump shots are coming up short. They're having sloppy play and turning the ball over at a bottom five rate in fourth quarters of play. And it's obvious for everybody to see. So when it goes wrong, it is really glaring. And even in the wins, people are still just not too impressed with how they've been winning the games. Because like I said, it's been close games and close wins. Some of them have been exciting, but I think people are hoping that it could be more of not a blowout, but more of a comfortable type win.
Alan Horton, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, with us here on the Lowdown. Kings and T-Wolves coverage beginning tonight at 5 o'clock. Kings Live with Jay Ross coming up at 4:30. Is that kind of a victim of like expectations?
I think it's expectations, and I think it's also the fact of history, of just how this entire fan base, not just Timberwolves, but sports fan base in the Twin Cities, is just they haven't had a lot of success, and there's always this feeling that the rug is just going to get pulled out from underneath you. And it's even that way with Vikings fans. I mean, this season couldn't have gone much better at this point, and yet I think everybody keeps waiting for it to fall apart. And I think that's just the psyche of not only this fan, this sports area, but other cities have a similar type feeling. It's just, you've got to get back to, the Timberwolves, when they won, when they got to the playoffs 8 straight years, it then became a routine. You could count on this team to win, maybe not go deep in the playoffs with the exception of 04, but at least you had that winning mentality and the thought that, hey, we're good enough. We should be winning games. We are winning games. It's just a different type of confidence. And when you go through 13 years of not reaching the postseason, I mean, it does a number on sports fans. There's no other way to put it.
You know, Alan, you'll have probably a different opinion of the Kings when you see them in person. I'm just curious what you think as you prep for them, looking to see them tonight, first matchup. Just what's your perception of what you've seen and heard about the Sacramento Kings this year?
Yeah, I'll have a better understanding after tonight, because it's funny, once you get wrapped up in the season, it's just you're focusing on who you're playing, and we have not seen you guys at all, and haven't seen much. I think from the offseason, my first thought was, how is this all going to mesh together? I mean, I think there's some intriguing young pieces, but how are those guys going to develop? How are they going to get the playing time? And I didn't quite get the, bringing in Vince Carter and George Hill and Zach Randolph, because there's an end game too. I mean, you're trying to develop these young guys. You're building after DeMarcus Cousins. You want to get these guys developed, but you also got an eye on that draft coming up too. I mean, let's face it, there's going to be some talent, some high-end talent in those top four, five, six picks. And, you know, when I see Zach Randolph starting and playing really well in December and helping you to win games, you know, I just wonder if at the end of the season, a win or two might cost you a spot. I hate having that philosophy of tanking and worrying about that, especially so early in the season. But I think for Sacramento, it's vital. So, I still kind of question how the rotations are going to go and how you're going to get all these guys in there, because there are just going through the roster, there are a lot of guys I think you'd like to see play and like to get some playing time so that they can evaluate their development and see if those guys are going to be a part of the future.
This is amazing. I think Alan just summarized every conversation we've had since the season started.
He's not even here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, well, not even there, right?
Everything you just said, Alan, is a constant.
It's every day, our show every day.
Yesterday's a perfect example, Alan, because the Kings beat Phoenix the night before at the Golden One Center. And there's a mix of, all right, look, hey, good, got the win. And there's a mix of, no, that's
this
good.
Guy didn't play.
Right, that's going to cost us a draft. Exactly the words you just used. I think Alan's listening and texting is what I actually think, because you hit that too perfectly.
You trade DeMarcus Cousins, and then I was looking at some of the post All-Star break numbers for like LeBissiere and Willie Cauley-Stein, and while the wins weren't there, at least those guys were getting playing time, and hopefully the front office is using that time to evaluate these guys. But then you bring in Zach Randolph, and obviously that's going to take some minutes away from those two bigs. And you know, it's a little curious. I don't know how you can serve two or three different goals. You know, you want to bring in these veterans to kind of still want to win games, because we went through this where you have a completely young team like last year. You've got no veteran leadership and you don't win games. And I think there is something too. There is a value to having, you've got to have a balance to your roster, because if you go all young, you're just going to lose. And I'm not sure how much development can happen when you're constantly losing. You do need to be able to win some games, but yet you still want to get those young players some playing time, but that might not lead to winning. So it's kind of a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma, and it's not easy to figure out.
What was the name of that movie? The dream that was the dream that was the dream. Leonardo Inception.
Oh, Inception. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's what that is. Oh. Alan's making a whole lot of friends here in Sacramento. There are a lot of people who are jumping in on the text line. Super. See, we told you, Alan's not even here, and he's thinking the way that we are. Have a great broadcast tonight. You guys got a fun team to watch, man. We're looking forward to seeing it tonight, and we appreciate your time, my man.
You guys, anytime.
Thank you.
That is Alan Horton, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, as we've got your Sacramento Kings in the land of Prince tonight.
Yes.
Minnesota, the Minnesota T-Wolves. 5 o'clock is a start. As I mentioned, Jay Ross, 4:30. Game night coming up at 3:30.
That's good to hear person's perspective, though, right? Because, you know, sometimes we're in it. We're so close. But yet, he kind of hit on all of his conversation on that was, well, it's hard to do all the goals. It makes some sense to add the veterans, but does it?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we say about the team.
I wonder for the people who, like me, in the, just go win games.
Right.
Like, I'm not talking about, you're not going to make the playoffs. Just go win games. Mm-hmm. Just go win. Whether that, if that's playing Zach Randolph, 40 minutes a night, if you're going Tibbs strategy and you're going with De'Aaron Fox for 40, cool. Go out there, put your best foot forward. If it's 30 wins, if it's 26 wins, whatever it is, go do that. But if it's not, and it's, well, we're going to develop, we're going to just, we're, you know, draft pick, all that stuff, be transparent.
Yeah.
Could be. And I wonder for, you know, because I'm in a different position and I never like to compare myself to someone who has to pay a lot of money to go to those games, or, you know, does all of the concession stuff and the parking and all of those different things. But would that make you feel better if the Kings were transparent? If they just said, look, we got a group of young guys here that we really want to develop. We think they're these veterans that are here are really going to help them in that process. And we're also mindful of the fact that we're probably not going to be able to compete with the Warriors and the Rockets and things like that. So we're going to take this approach and see what the draft brings us next year and kind of move forward from there. I wonder if that type of transparency would help fans who are in the opposite camp of just go win games.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not like That's just a question. Yeah. That's nothing more than the Kings should do this way. No, it's a question because I think there's a lot of fallout for the Kings to move forward with a statement like that.
Right.
But I also know that some Kings fans are probably like, man, I don't want to – like, we got a text yesterday of someone who went to the game. It was the Wizards game where
all the young guys played.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the young guys played. It was that guys sat. They rested.
Right.
And I think that's now a buzzword in the NBA. Rested is a buzzword. And he was frustrated with it, or she was frustrated.
Yeah.
The person who texted was like, man, that really turned me off to the season. Because, like, you're resting? We're like a week into the season. What are you tired from?
Yeah, I was thinking about this just from strictly the financial decisions they made in the offseason. I think that would be looked at more negatively, meaning that if they signed George Hill for $20 million, Z-Bo, his contract, Vince Carter, his contract, and none of them were playing, mm-hmm. What are you doing? Like, that's wasting money. Right, I think that would be looked at as a complete negative.
I disagree.
They weren't playing at all?
If they weren't playing at all, then it's silly.
Yeah.
But it's like, George Hill's the one, and I said this, I remember before when we were talking about free agents, we got tech, well, what about George Hill in Sacramento? No, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because George Hill's not in that, he's not in that mentoring role yet. Like, he still, I think, wants to be a significant player on a team where he could have a significant impact. When George Hill signed here, not from the Sacramento Kings perspective necessarily, though in retrospect you could look at it and say it didn't. I didn't think from George Hill's perspective that it made sense. And it was for reasons like that. If Zach didn't play a lot, if Z-Bo didn't play a lot, and Vince Carter didn't play a lot, you have two very good coaches. As long as they're on board with that, mm-hmm. by the way, and long as that's made clear, like, hey, if you're good with 15 to 20 a game, or you're good with 10 a game, or there are nights where you don't play, if you're good with that, we think you could really help Scal. And we really think you could, we got this kid Bogdan coming on from overseas. We really think you can help these guys. Would that be a role you're willing to take on? And I think that's part of the pitch process. Mm-hmm. It's what we heard from George Hill earlier this week, right? And these articles that are coming out is George Hill is allegedly saying he was pitched something that's not being delivered. As long as these guys know what they're in for. That's why I thought the George Hill thing didn't make sense. But as long as these guys know what they're in for, meaning Zach Randolph and Vince Carter, I would be fine with that. And I don't think it's necessarily wasting money because they're not over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be at the floor.
Right, which meant they had to spend money. So
they
feel
had
like
to sign someone.
Yeah, it made sense to sign veterans that you kind of wanted to utilize. And otherwise, you were going to be paying for lesser players, and then are you not playing them? I mean, I really feel like they are trying to scratch off all the targets and the goals they're trying to reach. It's just not easy to do, and it doesn't feel like they hit all those goals every day.
But I don't think we have a clear definition of what their goals are. And maybe we don't, you know, it's not their responsibility to give them to us. It just leaves us here questioning day after day.
It's to compete and to develop. That's what
but
I feel.
But compete and lose or compete and win?
I don't think they want to lose. I think compete and win.
Okay. All right. Because I feel like if the Timberwolves win tonight, I think if the Kings beat the Timberwolves tonight, mm-hmm. we'll come in tomorrow and they'll be frustrated Kings fans.
If it's done with what? A heavy dose of Z-Bo and George Hill?
Sure. Garrett Temple goes for 20 tonight. Zach Randolph goes for 20 and George Hill 20.
Okay, no matter who they play tonight on the floor and they lose by 20, they'll be frustrated Kings fans.
Fair enough.
How does the organization win?
That's the question, right?
Right?
That's the question to the whole season.
Yeah.
For me, maybe the better question is, what do you want?
Right.
Like, how do you want to approach the rest of this?
Yeah.
44-11-40, lots of people. Oh, hi. Phone
Hi
lines.
There.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Keep those calls coming. I promise we will get to each and every single one of them. Plus, the Thursday edition of Get Your Boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, it's on the way next on The Lowdown. Lots of people chiming in on the conversation we were just having about the Sacramento Kings. Hey, bless you. I don't even think I could cover that one up. That was a good one.
Thank you.
All right. The Kings and T-Wolves tonight at 5 o'clock. You have the most demonstrative sneezes ever. You're like a diva wide receiver when you sneeze. This is what it is. We got these four-pack of tickets for the NCAA doubleheader on December 21st at the Golden 1 Center. Kansas versus Stanford and Sac State versus Portland. Great response so far on social media. It's the first time we've done this.
Yeah, it's cool.
We wanted to give the people who are listening on the new KHTK app a fair chance to win these tickets. It's a lot harder when you're listening on the app because there's such a long delay or when you're listening on KHTK.com. So if you can send a screenshot of you listening to us on the app and tweet it to us, at Damian Barling and or at Jason Ross 1140, we will enter you in to win these tickets for the NCAA doubleheader. The cutoff time will be 2 o'clock, and we will name our winner right before we bring in Nate Lundy for our final edition of Fantasy Football Talk. So again, that's at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Hey, John, thank you so much for holding, man. We really appreciate it. What's on your mind?
No problem. Thanks for taking my call. You know, signing those, you know, Carter, Zebo, and Hill, I think, in my opinion, I think it's more to put people in the seats, a little bit more credibility.
Okay.
But I think the Sacramento should have went the way of Minnesota and went young and grown, you know. But, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. We have a new stadium, and we want people to come in and watch the team. But I've been a lot more happier if they would have went young instead of bringing in Carter, which, you know, I mean, we all know what he's done. Zebo, he got a little bit of game left. He should probably be with a team that might go to the playoffs. And Hill, I don't know. Hill is Hill. But I want to know what you guys think about that.
Well, let me ask you a question before you hang up, John. Do you care whether Kings win or lose?
No, I don't. At this point, no, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, of course I wanted to win. I mean, I don't care. I mean, that's kind of heavy to me. But I do want them to win. But if you go young with – because I think we have a lot of, you know, good young players. Buddy Hield, well, I'm an Oklahoma fan. But Buddy Hield and a lot of the other ones. But when you – I believe when you sign those three people, I think it's more of putting people in the seats to see these has-beens.
That's a little harsh.
Could be wrong, really. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, Vince Carter, you know, I mean, come on.
Vince Carter is a good presence for the Sacramento Kings.
You're right. He is a good presence. But, like, the guy you were interviewing before, I mean, maybe be a little higher in the draft or whatever. I mean,
sure.
I don't know. Did we get him because Vince Carter is. I mean, why did we give Vince Carter? Because he's a, you know, I don't, what he did in the past is great.
Well, you know what, John? I think, and we appreciate the call, man, and thank you so much. Appreciate your passion there. I'm going to guess, I don't know this for a fact, but I think Vince Carter knows he's 40.
Yes.
I don't think Vince Carter came to Sacramento with the aspirations to play 40 minutes a game.
Right.
Maybe he didn't come with the aspirations to play 30 minutes. Maybe he's perfectly fine playing 10 to 20 or whatever it is. Maybe Vince Carter has aspirations of being a head coach. Maybe this was a perfect setup for him. Again, I don't know the answer to any of these questions, but what I'm confident in is that Vince Carter knew he was 40 and had a pretty good idea of what his role was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know, and I really like Vince Carter. I love that he's a member of the Sacramento Kings. I think we even warned people after Vince Carter signed with the Sacramento Kings who were super excited because it really felt like people were excited that Vince Carter signed here. Tweeting gifs of him dunking in the dunk contest like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you did sign that guy, but he's not going to do that.
Yeah, if you see him in a Raptors uniform, that was 13 seasons ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. By the way, his comment I think is interesting about, you know, maybe do it like John was saying, like Minnesota, they're young. Well, they found their young pieces. They moved young pieces to get Butler, mm-hmm. to get Teague, mm-hmm. to get Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Those are veterans, right?
Yeah. Okay, the two young core pieces are Wiggins and Towns.
And how'd they get Wiggins, by the way?
They drafted. Well, and they traded him.
Right. They traded
him. From another guy that was developed in their organization. So the parallels could be if some of these young guys either turn into core pieces or you move them for other guys that help, because Minnesota had tried being young for years.
Mm-hmm.
They had never made the playoffs.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't
work. So they needed a few of the veterans in here. But the thing they did do, though, is people wanted LaVine. People wanted Dunn. People mm-hmm. were interested in Rubio. Well, hopefully you get interest in your young players, too.
Yeah. Jason, thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
I just want to make a quick statement. Everybody knows that you cannot improve upon something unless you have measurable goals. So my my question is, why not just call up Vladi or get an interview with him? Be like, what are your goals for the season? What are you actually looking? What's your measuring stick? Because, you know, it could be like, let's go to the moon. Well, you know, and be like, you know, win 70 games. Well, that's, you know, we would be happy with like 69 games or 50 games. But if your measuring stick is like, let's see who our players of the future are out of these draft picks or whatever the case is. I really don't know because I'm not Vladi, but let's just ask him. And so that way all of us fans can realize and say, this is what's successful season for him and the Kings under his being a GM. And then we can all, each game, look and say, did they accomplish that? Are they actually doing what they set out to do? And so that way there's no debate. Everybody can be happy. Because, I mean, realistically, it would be an unrealistic goal to win 50 games or 30 games or, well, maybe not 30, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why not just, like, figure out what his measuring stick is?
Yeah, fair enough. That's a great idea, Jason. We appreciate you. We should try. I got a pretty good connection with the Sacramento Kings here. Maybe mm-hmm. we should just ask for Vladi.
Why not?
Just to see what they say. Yeah. I envision them laughing, mm-hmm. but, like, I don't know, no harm in asking.
Sure.
We always have, you know, if Vladi was here, I'd ask him this. Or if Dave Yeager was here, I'd ask him this. Well, those interviews generally go to someone else, but there's no harm in asking,
yeah,
hey.
Absolutely.
How's Vladi feel about joining us one day at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that? What's happening, Katie?
What's happening, man? Hey, I'm just going to keep it real like I always do, so I'm not going to hold back, so bear with me here. My whole thing is the fans, first of all, we got a brand new arena. Make no mistake, they need to sell some tickets. Vladi Divac, Peja Stojakovic, I love them. You know, I'm a big Kings fan. But from what I've seen, if we step all the way back to the Bellinelli, to all the moves that he's made, I can only count maybe a couple on my hand that I say, okay, those are solid. We're still up in the air on a lot of people. I know what Kustakoufis is. I know what these different players are. And at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like he's got a real grip, and the last caller had said really the direction that we need to go. And if we're going in a certain direction, you're going to get rid of what, the fourth best scorer in the NBA for nothing. Then you know what? Come to the fans with a plan. And I just don't think this guy is ready. You know, it's like almost like the offensive coordinator for the Raiders. He's not ready. And I don't think Vladi is ready for this position. And that's just my thoughts. I'm just keeping it, you know, real, what I think.
Okay, Katie.
I don't want to get you guys' thoughts.
Nah, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. I think I said something along those lines almost 1 year ago.
Do we still think they got nothing for Cousins? Is that what some people think? I know Katie did.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously some people think that. I feel like I've said this 1,000 times. It feels like the negotiation process was closed off to one team mm-hmm. with one player in mind, Buddy Hield yeah. and the New Orleans Pelicans. My thing is always, well, what if? He's DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
Under contract for another full year. What if Boston had known? We were trying to send DeMarcus to Boston for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What if Cleveland had known?
Right.
What if the entire league knew? Oh, that devalues him. Okay, that's one line of thinking. Or it's a bidding war. One or the other.
Right.
But there's talk of I don't know. It happened so quickly. I don't know. I don't feel like they got nothing, but I always wonder what they could have got.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what if De'Aaron Fox turns out not to be good?
Well, that's their own pick.
Or if
right.
Buddy Hield. Well,
yeah.
Yes, but the pick wouldn't have been as good if DeMarcus yeah. I've heard that line of thinking, and I don't know how that's factually accurate. But,
right.
Okay. What if Buddy doesn't pan out? What if Buddy is gone at the end of his rookie deal? We look at it differently, don't
yeah.
we? We look at the DeMarcus Cousins deal differently, right?
I guess so. We will, but, I mean, don't we think New Orleans, he won't be on New Orleans next year?
Yes, I do think that, yeah.
And so if it's a playoff berth or not for them, especially if it's not, what did they – I mean, they in the end, they lost Buddy. We can forget about Tyreek and Galloway. They've already moved on, but they were part of it.
So everything associated with DeMarcus Cousins lost is what you're saying.
Well, it'd be Buddy, what was it? They got Justin Jackson, mm-hmm. Harry Giles, and Frank Mason.
Justin Jackson was the second pick, right?
The 10, which
yeah,
they
yeah.
turned into
right,
two
right,
picks,
right, right. Yeah.
And they already had, and Frank Mason was from New Orleans. So Frank Mason, Giles, Jackson, and Buddy Hield are still here from that trade.
Well, they will be.
Yeah.
Because that's next year.
Right.
And we believe that DeMarcus will be gone.
And they won't, most importantly, be committing to, I think, what, $30 million? They would have had to commit to $30
million? Well, per year, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot. At least I've heard that's a lot. I wouldn't know, but that sure seems like a lot.
Yeah.
All right, we'll shift gears. Obviously, always a passionate conversation. It's like 6 degrees of separation with DeMarcus Cousins. It always gets back there. Get your boy. That's next. If you'd like to be a producer for the Lowdown, send your applications to @JasonRoss1140.
Get your boy.
We're looking for that's your boy. That is your guy right
there.
That
was all your guys' fault to begin with.
Chris Verlod is your boy.
I'll claim Chris.
I have to claim him on some days.
Yeah.
Today, he's your boy. As a matter of fact, I got another Thursday edition of Get Your Boy.
Okay.
This is what a good one.
Okay.
We're making this a staple here. Get Your Boy, Jason Ross. Now, I've heard some wild explanations as to why professional athletes have failed drug tests.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard tainted supplement.
Sure.
We've heard tainted meat. I vaguely recall one that had to do with sex. I don't remember. I'll have to look that one up to get the specifics. The specifics might not even be allowed on the radio. This is an interesting one. Jeremy Curley, Jets wide receiver, is coming off his 4-game suspension for a violation of the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. It ends this week. He'll be back playing, probably. And at the time of his suspension, he released a statement, and he said, we're going to investigate this matter until I'm able to figure out what caused the positive test. He's going to pursue remedies against anything that was tainted without his knowledge. It was 4 weeks ago. Well, he's back, and he said yesterday at his press conference, I don't know. There's a lot of ghosts around here. Maybe a ghost put it in me. You know the ghosts of Christmas past? A ghost might have put it in me. I don't know. Jason.
Ghosts.
Get your boy.
No, come on now. This one's
good. Get
your
boy, man.
This is good. I mean, like that one, you know, you want creativity.
Get your man.
The ghosts. The drug ghosts.
The drug ghost. And them drug ghosts, they'll get you.
They're real. This here is real.
Oh, my gosh.
That's good.
That is a good one. I'm reading it. And now, you got to believe he's. It's hard to tell, you know, there's some guy, they're just touched and they're special. You read it and it's like, okay, he's being goofy.
Yeah.
But then you wonder, like, is he? Like,
yeah.
Like when Kyrie talks about the earth being flat, like he's being dead serious. Maybe the best explanation he could come up with in front of the media was a ghost put it in.
And you know how we always laugh about the media that does that awkward laugh? Like, I hope they were really laughing.
Like, would you laugh or would you just look at him like, dumbfounded.
I think I would do those, talk about gifts that they have some of the people at the White House when some things are being said, and they're like,
huh?
I think that's where I would have had the Costa gift.
It's the best part of the administration, is those gifts.
Yeah. I would have been doing one of those.
Okay, so I'm trying to find up some of the craziest reasons why people fail drug tests.
Okay.
I totally forgot about this. Melky Cabrera, he got caught, but his buddy, remember, he created a fake website. And they're going to say, oh, he took a bad supplement, and that's why he failed the test. But then he got caught.
Well, that's elaborate.
Yeah.
That is elaborate.
Yes.
What was A-Rod's? He let his cousin do something? Like, he was, like, acknowledging that he was doing drugs, but it was, my cousin, you know.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was, I can't remember. But I know it had something to do with his cousin. Oh, we were young.
There was another
stupid
player, and he was a fringe player on somebody in the NBA. Oh, I can't quite remember his name right now. But I think what he got caught, which NBA is pretty rare for any kind of, but he got caught for something. And I think what the story ended up being was he was kind of taking some hair restoration drugs and products. But he didn't want to admit that that's what he was doing. It's like, I'd admit that if that's why I got caught for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he wanted to admit it. And it's like, well, which one do you want to be known as, you know, it's, come on.
Some hair restoration products.
Trying to get some more follicles back.
Brought to you by Costa Kufis. What does get your boy mean? I feel like we say a lot of things on this show that are like inside jokes and no one ever knows what
get
they,
that one
get
means?
Your boy. That's like, you know, like if you're out.
Save them from themselves.
Yeah. Gay. Yeah. Get your boy.
Yeah.
Because he's acting a fool.
Yeah. They need some help.
Yeah. get him. Like, yeah. Go do something about your man over there.
But, see, I would go get, what, who was it, Jeremy Curley? But
yeah, yeah.
Is he really by ghost? I don't want to go get him.
Yeah.
I'm staying away.
The New York media is looking around like, man, we've heard some stupid stuff here in this, covering this team, but.
It's too bad he wasn't with the Giants. It's the ghost of Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, that's too real.
Too real?
That's way too real, Jason.
Probably is a real thing.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
That might only be the second best soundbite, though, that came out of yesterday's media days for NFL teams.
I think I found your guy.
Uh-oh.
Dennis Mitchell, American sprinter.
Okay.
1998, he tested positive for high levels of testosterone. He said that he had 5 beers and had sex with his wife 5 times the night before.
That was it.
It was her birthday. The lady deserved a treat.
That's the one. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't have sex 5 times with your wife. Stop that. Yeah. That's great. That was the one.
Dennis Mitchell. It wasn't a treat.
No. 5 times?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Come on. Get your boy.
Yeah. All right. I'll take that one. Dennis Mitchell. What's worse, football or track? Because it feels like it's more of like both
track,
sports.
Track, it happens a lot.
No, I know, but I mean with both sports, it's like, oh, look, he tested positive.
Yeah.
No, the king is cycling.
Oh, yeah, but in cycling, once you're like done once you test positive, right? Like, Pride of the University of Tennessee. Didn't Justin Gatlin just win a big race?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Gatlin's been suspended for drug use.
He was out, yeah.
Yeah, he was gone. It's okay. It's like the NFL. Oh, hey, don't worry about it. You just brush it under the table.
Yeah.
Track, okay. Hey, look, he won. Praise him. Yeah. American
he's
sprinter.
He's fast.
Hey. Yeah.
Running from ghosts.
running from ghosts. Yes, indeed. Marcus Mariota got in a little bit of trouble, but he said sorry for it.
Real quick, I just want to say I'm sorry for the way I handled the press conference. I know not everybody who was there is here, but, you know, I was rude and inappropriate. And, you know, I just want to say I apologize for that. So,
I'm not speaking for everybody, but I didn't find you rude or inappropriate.
I appreciate that. No. And yeah, it was funny because I got an earful a little bit from my mom. So, you know, that's how I was raised. And, you know, I appreciate you guys.
I love that.
Understand.
I absolutely love that.
Mom told me.
Yeah, my mom listens
mom
every day.
Let me know.
Very careful about what we say here on the show. Thankfully, she's missed some of our worst moments. We'll be back. Nate Lundy, our final edition of Fantasy Football Talk. Nate Lundy joins us next on The Lowdown.